There's a huge coordination issue and a huge like difference in skill set. So that was kind of my initial area to focus on of like, well, how do we fix this coordination issue? Because it was like, wait a second, we've been talking about how do we make it easier for teams to get these updates into the world. What if we could just do the updates for you? Like, what if we could actually just do the, boom. Like,
welcome to today's episode of Churn Bytes. I'm Brian Polakoff, CEO and founder of Churn Assassin, and today we're diving into why changelogs are your secret customer retention tool. And joining me today is a very special guest, Brian Sierkowski from changebot.ai. Hey there, Brian. Get us kicked off, if you don't mind. Tell us a little bit about your background and really what makes you tick.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Brian. I really appreciate you having me here. So I'm also Brian, and I'm the co-founder of ChangeBot, and I'm a multi-time founder, and I've built some stuff that didn't work, but I've also had some products go from idea all the way through sold, and now I'm really focused on helping companies really figure out their product communication strategy.
That's awesome, because I know so many companies struggle with that, and I know personally in one of my previous companies, we had troubles with this. We had customers actually cancel just because they thought we didn't have a feature that we did, or they asked us for a feature which we actually developed, but then we dropped the ball and never told them we developed it. How often are you seeing that yourself?
I see it all the time, and that's why I started this business. Like I mentioned, I've run a couple of different companies, and I've been through the ringer a little bit. And there's nothing more demoralizing to put in these 80-hour, 100-hour startup weeks. And then you're getting messages from your customers like, hey, are you guys still alive? Are you doing anything? And it really comes down to that component of, hey, it's a lot of work to build this stuff. And it's a lot of work to, you know, put all these different components together and kind of get something to market. So I'm finding that a lot of teams just, they either don't have the energy or the skill or the interest in doing that final mile of, after you do all the work, you have to tell your customers about it. And that's where we're kind of finding people are dropping the ball. That's what I did too. I was dropping the ball in that situation as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of folks are, and I just don't think that there's a really good solution. So just in case our listeners don't know, I'm pretty sure that they are going to know, but just in case they don't know, walk us through what it looks like to kind of keep customers in the loop without something like ChangeBot.
Sure. Yeah. It's a frustrating process. So at my previous companies, we, despite trying really hard to do this, we updated customers a lot less frequently than we should have. And generally what it looks like is that you have a couple of different key stakeholders. So you have your support team that's listening to the complaints and issues that people are happening. You have your development team that are actually making the changes. You have sales that's on the front end trying to convince new people to come in. You got your product person in the middle. And then you have marketing that's, most marketing teams are just trying to hang on and trying to like, yeah, like, how do we keep saying things over and over again to convince people to come in? So generally in companies that I've run in the past, you need to have some sort of meeting with some or all of these different groups, which gets really expensive. You have your developers come in, the developers are explaining what's getting built, and the product managers are saying, this is why it's getting built. And the marketing team is like, well, here's how I need to say this to people. And so usually there's like in the ideal world, there's like a weekly meeting, usually it slides and it's every other week or once a month. But then, you know, we have these group that's coming together to kind of talk through, okay, here's what's going on and here's why we should tell customers. Inevitably, this gets ping-ponged around different departments. So, you know, the developers explain it and then that goes over to the marketing team. So they write down, okay, here's what we want to say. And then the developers read it and they go, no, none of that is, we didn't actually do any of that. Like, I think that's a good idea, but
I'm inventing features.
Yeah. And then, so you go back and forth and then, you know, you get to the situation where to get these updates out, you're looking at, you know, 10 to 12 person hours to get the update out. And this is also why companies aren't updating as frequently as they should, because you kind of go through this, you know, tango back and forth. And it's like, well, if it's going to cost like 12 hours a week across our team, well, let's do that once a month instead of once a week. And then even that gets pushed out. So, but that's kind of, I mean, the problem is that there's no one person in the company that has all the context that you need in order to get these updates out the door. You know, the developers know the changes, but, you know, sorry, developers, I'm a developer. I'm going to make fun of you a little bit. Like, you don't know how to talk to people. You don't [S2] Sure. [S1] Know how to talk to customers. And the marketing team is like, got all the kind of, you know, customer profiles, and they know all the features and benefits, but they don't know exactly what's happening. And you know, everybody else has a little bit of input along the way. So without a tool like the one that we're building, your only other option is to bring everybody together and spend the time on it. And the real killer is like, well, do you want your developers in more internal meetings or do you want them building more stuff? Like, I've never met a company that's like, oh yeah, we have too many developers. We've got too many dev hours. Like, we don't know what we want to, it's like, no, there's always a huge roadmap of stuff to build. So it's like, well, do we spend 10 hours talking to our internal team or do we spend an additional 10 hours building more stuff? And almost everybody chooses build more stuff.
Indeed. And before the show, you and I were talking and you said a phrase that I thought was it was so true, but so hilarious at the same time. Tell our listeners about the invoicing quote that you said. They got to hear this.
Sure. Yeah. So we kind of have this internal motto. It's like, you should send your customers more updates than invoices, because it's like, think about what that's saying to your customers. It's like, that invoice is like rock solid. It shows up every month on the same day, probably around the same time. And customers can count on getting that invoice in, and they know that they're going to have to pay it. But the updates, usually it's like, okay, maybe it's once a month. I mean, I would, if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, yeah, we're pretty good about updating our customers once a month, I would prompt you to like actually go back and count the dates. Because I did this for myself when I was starting the business. And I thought, as I was developing the previous product I was working on, I said to myself, I think we're updating about once a month. And it was like every 6 to 8 weeks. Like, I was like, pretty wrong. And I was making a big effort to get them out the door. So, you know, you think about a different world of, well, what if instead of getting one invoice a month and then less than one update, what if you're getting your customers some sort of information every week or every other week? Like, what does that do to the kind of conversation that you're having with your customers? And how does that, you know, I'm also an entrepreneur in residence here at one of our local accelerators. And I'll hear from companies and they'll be like, yeah, I surveyed my customers. I know you're supposed to talk to your customers. I sent a survey out and nobody responded. And you look and it's like, okay, well, how frequently are you communicating with them previous to that? And it's like, oh no, you just send them a survey every 6 months. Like, that's not a great conversation. So compare that to, you know, even small, even on social, you don't need to like, there's a art to this. You don't need to send an email to your customers every single day. But, you know, even on social, you know, multiple times a week having updates there, and then maybe like a monthly recap or biweekly recap. But that starts to put people even subconsciously in the thing of like, oh, well, I'm working with Brian's company. It's both of us. And they're sharing updates with me and they're providing me information and they're kind of helping me. They're kind of helping me understand how to get a better use out of this tool. So when the time comes up to say, like, when we reach out and we say, hey, Mr. or Miss Customer, like, what could we do better? They're already kind of feeling like they're actively in a conversation. This is not coming out of the blue. They're like, oh yeah, I hear from Brian, you know, every other week or every week, or like, I'm, you know, they're just like one of my friends that's texting me all the time. It's a totally different vibe than corporate entity shows up and butts into your day and say like, hello, shareholder, how do I make this product better? Completely different.
100%. I think, especially in today's day and age, right? I think folks are more in tune. Well, let's be honest. There's a reason the TLDR kind of era is upon us, is I would much rather receive more frequent updates and have them be shorter and more condensed than you send me this once a quarter, because I'm going to live in reality. 6 to 8 weeks, you're a god in my book, man. Like, 6 to 8 weeks, I wish I could have pulled that off. I was doing more like once a quarter. And even then, these updates that we were passing on to our customers, they were like 3 pages worth. And guess what? Nobody read them. Nobody. Yeah. And I was almost worse than if we hadn't sent them in the first place. Because like you said, we were still putting in the 15 man hours to generate these updates, only now, because they were so cumbersome, so wordy, so technical, that our customers were like, nope, I don't have the time or will to want to read this. And they would either delete it or they would have good faith and they would save it for later. They'd move it into another folder. I'm going to read this later, and they never do. Right. So this is interesting. Okay, so this is fantastic. So there's a lot of pain for this, right? There's a lot of cost associated with generating these updates, which these updates, they forge better relationships, build better rapport, they keep customers informed. That information allows them to find more value in the product. So we all know that we should be updating our customers more often than sending them invoices. So tell us a little bit about ChangeBot and how do you make this a better world?
Sure. Yeah. And I'll kind of rewind a little bit too of like, how did I come to this idea as a serial entrepreneur? It's like you're never short of different ideas or different problems that you want to solve. And so this was one of the ones where I'd mentioned in my past companies, I would either have customers churn, kind of the exact same stories here. I would have customers churn for a feature that we actually had, or they would leave to go to another one of our competitors that was just making a lot more marketing noise than we were, even though I felt like I'm biased, but I knew that my product was better than their product. They're just making more noise than I am. And so that was in the back of my mind as I was kind of figuring out like, okay, what do I want to do next? What do I want to build? And I played around with a couple of different ideas, but I just couldn't get this challenge out of my head of like, and almost selfishly, I'm like, I really don't want to build another company ever again, unless I have this framework behind me where I can know for sure that we're actually updating our customers. And I just never want to have this, you know, this churn conversation ever again, because it's like, I'm just like, it's a double dagger. You know, it's like one, they're leaving and you're losing money. And then two, it was totally solvable. So when I first kind of came up with the idea of how to solve this problem, it was sort of more of a manual process. It was like trying to solve some of these like coordination issues. Like I was talking about, there's a huge coordination issue and a huge like difference in skill set. So that was kind of my initial area to focus on of like, well, how do we fix this coordination issue? And then this was, you know, really about a year ago today, kind of like, you know, March of 24, which is like, you know, probably an interesting timeline for people where you're thinking like, oh, that's really where all this LLM stuff started happening. Yep. And so that really dramatically changed our perception of how to build the product, because it was like, wait a second, we've been talking about how do we make it easier for teams to get these updates into the world. What if we could just do the updates for you? Like, what if we could actually just do that? Yeah. Boom. Like, well, what if we could actually do that work for you? And so that's kind of what we immediately shifted into. And we, you know, just like everybody else at that point in time, we're like, oh, we'll tie into your GitHub account and we will look at the commit messages. And in fact, we'll just scrape like 20 of them. We'll send that as a request to ChatGPT and say, please write our updates and have that come back. And then we'll have all of our updates written. We, you know, in and out in 10 minutes or whatever that phrase
super
is.
Super easy. Have that done in an afternoon.
Exactly. Our MVP will be done. And you know, then we'll just have to figure out where to, you know, what to do with all the money that we're going to make from that.
What was the reality though?
Yes. Yeah. It's a good question. So we did that and, you know, we're very fortunate. We had a couple of companies that were having the same problems and they kind of understood the vision. And so we had a couple of beta customers sign up. And the feedback that we got really for about the first 8 months of our business was that the updates that we were writing weren't good. And the beta customers were using feedback a little bit stronger than not good, but I'll censor myself for now. And so we realized through that process and really comparing it to like the human model of like, if you were going to hire a person to do this job, that person would be called a product marketer. Mm-hmm. And what would you have to do to get that person up to speed? Like, well, they need to have a great understanding of who our company is. They need to know who our customers are. They need to know the features and benefits of our product. And then they also kind of need to know like the history of our product. What have we done before? When we're talking about a feature, is this a brand new feature or is this something that we're adding on to an existing feature? And so we realized very quickly that we needed to build the context into our system to understand those four things and even more. And so that's what we did. It's in fact what we had to do, because everything else that we tried, we sort of ended up with like a pretty poor product.
Yeah.
So we kept working and we kind of figured out how to build this context in and how to understand sort of the history of the product and really understanding specifically the changes and how those contextualize to the customers, to the product that we have today. We kind of joke around. We call it Update Engine 5. It's like a Microsoft product or something like that. But we've gone through at least 5 major architectural improvements to the back end. And now it works amazingly. We can look at the changes that you're making. We can turn those into updates. We can help you distribute them. And we're always looking to add more to each side of like bringing in more information to be able to write about. And then also, as soon as we got past the, hey, your updates aren't very good, that's the only feedback that we got for a long time. As soon as we fixed that, it was like overnight, we went from that one complaint into a million complaints. And that's like, oh, well, can you host the updates for us? Can you put them here? We have a Webflow blog. Can you publish it as a blog post on our Webflow blog? Can you tweet this for me? Can you, you know, and it's like all of a sudden.
The sentiment behind those is different though.
Yes. And that is when we knew that the core product was there. And now, okay, now we're into we're in the implementation world, and people are like, hey, what you've delivered to us is really valuable, but you know what would be even better is if you helped us get it everywhere. And so that is the realm of product development that we're doing now, is to help you get those updates everywhere that you need them to be.
That is amazing. So if you, their companies are using your product, and what they're finding is they're able to generate these product updates and these changes with ease. Can they also, let's say there's a lot of, I will use the word control freaks out there. Mm-hmm. And so does your product automatically go get the data, automatically write it, and then immediately tell the world, and nobody has any say whatsoever, and it happens whether you want it to happen or not? Or how does that work?
Absolutely. As much as I'd like for that to be the way that it works, you're exactly right. I mean, some people want to have much more control over the updates as they get out into the world. And so there's kind of two main ways that we go about doing that. Right now, kind of our premium tier is called Autopilot, and that's where we'll actually monitor every single change, look for anything worth talking about, and then write an update for you as soon as that's live. Even in that scenario, the people at the company, one person or many people, can review that, edit the change. And the cool thing is that we're always working more and more on kind of understanding the nature of those edits. So when a company edits an update, we'll actually spin that back in so that future updates, we can kind of learn and train our own system based off of those changes. So we don't want you to have to make the changes, but if you do, we're going to learn from that along the way. So that's kind of like you know, area one for our control freak friends that want to use the product. The other one is that we have a whole separate sort of feature called Update Builder. And Update Builder does pretty much what the name says. You can actually go through all of the data and all the information that we pull in about your company. You can go through and make really any arbitrary connection. Like if you're working on, I give the example of something like speed updates, improvement updates, or speed improvements of like going through and we've made a bunch of changes. We've had our developers working really hard on making the product faster. And so what we want to do is we want to provide an update on that, but we don't want to provide an update on each individual change. We just kind of want to say like, hey, the product's now faster. It's better for you. So you can go through an update builder and say, okay, here's all the changes related to that speed improvement and package them into a single update. Or what you can do, and it's actually, this was behavior that has caused us to work on a new feature, but we had one customer sign up. They signed up, they paid for their account right away. And the first thing that we noticed they did is they used Update Builder. They launched it and they went through and they went back a month and they picked all the kind of interesting updates, generated update, and then went back in, went to the month before. So they were kind of using Update Builder to generate monthly updates based off of using the Update Builder. Now, of course, you know, we're not done with this, but everybody listening is like, oh, well, you probably should have a monthly updates feature built into ChangeBot, which is what we decided to work on based off of that. But that's just an example of that's what allows people the ability to say, here's the timeline or here's the feature set or really whatever you want. That's kind of the ultimate control method of using ChangeBot.
That's awesome. That's really, so this is, I mean, this is saving people time, energy. From a founder standpoint, I don't have a bunch of my employees sitting in a room talking, arguing over the best verb or adjective to use in the marketing material and arguing over which features actually need to get promoted versus kind of just tucked away in a corner, if you will. And at the end of the day, we're using this tool not only to just educate our customer base, which is a huge problem, especially for so many SaaS businesses out there where the product is constantly evolving, right? Customer education is such an important role in the value that they receive. And ultimately that leads to the retention aspect. So with that being said, I do have a question, which is if you could give, assuming our listeners aren't going to run to your website, which we're going to talk about your website in just a little bit, but let's assume that they don't run to your website and sign up today, which I do recommend that everyone do that. But assuming they don't, give our listeners a little bit of advice as to what they could do to streamline this process for themselves without necessarily needing a full-blown solution like yours.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the very first things I did when I started working on this product is I said, I'm going to write down and just based off of my career, I'm gonna write down all the kind of tips and tricks and do a little bit of research about like what makes updates really good. Like how do the best companies in the world that go out there and provide the best updates to their customers, what are they doing? And I thought this was going to be a short little, almost like a cheat sheet for us internally as we developed the product. And it turned out to be a 92-page long blog post called Art of the Update. So if you want the full version, that's we don't have like a ebook or email sign up. If you want to go on our blog and it's usually up at the top of the screen, you can read the whole thing there. But in the interest of time, I'll give a couple of tips here so you don't necessarily have to do that. The key thing that if we want to kind of just narrow in on one piece of feedback, I basically across the board find companies that are struggling to get enough updates out there are miscalibrated on how big the change needs to be in order to tell their customers about it. And that's circular because if you haven't updated your customer in 3 months, then you're like, well, we have to put a big update out there to justify that. And because it needs to be a big update, then you wait another 3 months to let them know. So if you're in that spot and you're feeling a little bit of frustration, or you're starting to see some of those kind of like trailing indicators, you have churn happening, or you have people, one key thing that's so tricky, you have customers that are churning that if they would have talked to you before they decided to churn, you could have solved the issue. You could have gotten in the way. These updates are a great reason to start that conversation up. So that would kind of be my first major piece of update or my first major piece of advice is to get the updates out there and recalibrate on how big of a change you need to create to update your customers. Because if it was worth your team spending the time on, if it was worth having your developers go off and doing all the effort and all the work and actually getting this deployed into production, more likely than not, there's something, even just one line, that's worth getting to your customers. So I would say, you know, ease of entry, ease of use, just try to, maybe like, we'll set a little goal. Just every week, think of one line that you could even just post on social. Like just let's set the bar as low as possible. Sure. One line on social once a week that you can update your customers with. And I promise you that if you start doing that, you're gonna start finding a lot more things that you wanna talk about. And then you're gonna realize how time consuming it is. And then you're gonna come over to ChangeBot. But until you get there, I think that will make you will be shocked with how excited your customers are to hear from you. We just signed up a new customer and they were like, they had acquired the business from somebody else. And they were, prior to signing up for ChangeBot, they were like, they just like, well, let's just send our customers a quick update. And they got like 1,000 emails back, excited. Oh my goodness, we're so excited to get this update. And so they're like, wait, we have to do this all the time now. So
the power of the update is real.
Absolutely.
Well, that is fantastic. That's great advice and definitely great recommendation. I appreciate that. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Churn Bites, everybody. A big thank you to Brian Sierakowski over at changebot.ai for being our guest. And Brian, if our listeners want to learn more about you, more about your background, or even more about your product, changebot.ai, where do they go? How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, if you've been excited by this and you want to turn your update game upside down, definitely recommend going to changebot.ai. We offer a free trial. We'll generate you a couple of updates just so you can see what we're talking about and if that's something that's exciting to you. Otherwise, I'm always happy to chat with people and I love to have these customer conversations and conversations with people in general. So if you want to reach out to me directly, brian@changebot.ai, I will read it and I will more than likely respond to you. So happy to chat with anybody and everybody that have questions in this world.
Wonderful. Outstanding. And don't forget to check out more episodes of Churn Bites on churnassassin.com or your favorite podcast streaming service. And if you'd like to be a guest on our show, reach out to us, let us know. Until next time, keep churning.